Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Hi everyone, it's Jesse Green here. Welcome back to SavvyDentist.com and to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. It's wonderful to have your company for another episode of our show. Now today we're having a really important conversation around progress, and there's three really big parts of progress I want to talk about as it relates to leadership for the practice owner. Now if you're a practice owner, these three elements of leadership, these three particular perspectives on progress will help you really accelerate your practice's growth, its development, and of course its progress. We all want to feel like we're making progress. We want to feel like tomorrow is going to be better than today. We want to feel like next month is going to be better than this month, that next year is going to be better than this year. And so it's really important to understand, though, what progress really looks like. And so the first thing I want to talk about today as it relates to progress, the first leadership lesson, is actually understanding what progress does look like. Because often, yeah, there's a misconception that progress is linear, that it's going to, if you were to chart it on a graph, it would go from low on the bottom left to high on the top right. You know, there'd be this nice linear trajectory. It's consistent, it's reliable, it's stable, it's incremental. And of course, that's just not true, right? We all understand that intuitively. We all would love the idea of it because it's predictable. We all love the idea of that certainty. But life has no certainties. Life is not predictable. And even though we intuitively know that, we still kind of hope for it, right? The other diagram that I've often seen representing progress is kind of like that same arrow, you know, low on the bottom left to high on the top right. But in the middle somewhere, there's this almost like this ball of wool, circular, jumbly mess of spaghetti thing going on. So it's kind of like, you know, it starts okay, and then you get this squiggly, 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 and then you continue to proceed on your upward trajectory. Now, that's great for a book cover and it probably sells some books, but in my experience, that's not what progress looks like either. And I've been really fascinated with progress in all forms of human endeavor for decades. I've studied it. I've spoken to lots and lots of people who are incredibly successful, whether they be sports people, whether they be artists, whether they be business people, whether they be gardeners, right? It doesn't matter what the endeavor is, progress is progress. And we want to understand what drives progress, and we want to understand how to achieve progress, right? So if we were to graph progress, let me explain to you how I graph progress. And based on all of these conversations, all of these interviews, all of this study, it's very similar no matter what the human endeavor is. So typically we'll see some progress, and you might see a linear line going from bottom left to top right at whatever degree. Maybe it's a 45 degrees or 30 degrees or whatever it is, right? But at some point, we hit the edge of our capabilities. We hit the edge of our skill set. Whatever it is, we hit a constraint and our progress tapers off and ultimately plateaus. And you see that represented by a horizontal line. So you've got that initial upward growth, then you hit a horizontal line. And while we're trying to figure out how to, you know, reinvigorate our business in this instance, we're trying to learn new things, expand our capabilities, whether it's our skill set, whether it's our knowledge, whatever it is, right? We've got to understand what we've got to do to move forward. And then we figure out that actually I've got to apply this thing or that strategy or whatever it happens to be. So we go and apply that strategy. And typically when we start that strategy, we're hoping for some, you know, progress straight away. But the reality is we don't get that progress straight away. In actual fact, we tend to go a bit backwards initially. And so we see a dip. We see a dip in our progress line that will hollow out and then we'll reaccelerate up again towards that upper right-hand side. And you'll see that progress line continue up again. And then you hit the next constraint, the next edge of our capabilities, and it will taper off and plateau again. And then we implement the second strategy or the second tactic and, you know, it'll dip again and then it'll turn around and continue to grow again, right? That's what the progress chart looks like. Now, there's a few things that we need to understand about this progress chart. The progress that we see in that upward phase, that upward trajectory, is what we call visible progress. We can see it. Our numbers are good. We can feel it. We can see it. We can measure it. It's great, right? We all understand that. But in that plateau and even in that dip, what we're seeing is invisible progress. And we need to understand that there's a lag between learning something, studying something, implementing something and then seeing progress. And a lot of people are really impatient during that lag process. It's why a lot of people quit, because they can't see that progress immediately. They quit on themselves, they quit on their dreams, they quit on their partner, they quit on their relationship, they quit on whatever it is that they're trying to do. People quit too early. The thing is, if you know you're actually on the right path, if you're confident around that, then of course you're going to, you know, grit your teeth and roll your sleeves up and keep moving forward. Now, the difficulty with that invisible progress is you don't always know that you're on the right path, right? You're hoping you're on the right path, right? And that's where having, you know, mentors and peers and other things to guide you is really useful, to give you, say, hey, stick with it kind of advice, or we've been through this ourselves and if you keep going, you're going to be okay, right? But when you're in the middle of that period of, you know, plateau or the dip, it can feel lonely. And so that leads us to the second consideration I want to talk about today, and that is the emotional journey. And when you're going through a business, when you're going through life, in fact, there's always emotional journey as well as the business journey, right? And so the emotional journey is often, you know, a bit of a roller coaster. But when you're going through that plateau and when you're going through that dip, there's a state called perturbation. Now, I first heard about this concept of perturbation many years ago from a very early mentor of mine. And he said to me, look, Jesse, when you're going through that plateau or that dip, it's like external pressure being applied to you, outside pressure being applied to you. But what it produces is this internal simmering, this internal feeling of ugh, right? And so when that happens, we've got to find a way to deal with it. And we can deal with it, you know, either productively or unproductively, right? Now, when we're dealing with it unproductively, what tends to happen is, you know, when we're feeling icky and yucky, you know, we'll be feeling confused, frustrated, stressed out. We might be, you know, kind of buzzing around and doing all different things. We'll certainly be feeling uncomfortable and agitated. But if we deal with it unproductively, we tend to want to release that pressure with unhealthy habits. And those unhealthy habits might be binge watching on Netflix. It might be procrastination. It might be overwhelm leading to that fight, flight or freeze reaction. Now, for me personally, my unhealthy expression of perturbation is that sense of overwhelm and going into a freeze kind of methodology, right? And so you just sit there kind of like a deer in the headlights. And, you know, I know that about myself. I've had to learn that about myself. And so if we all understand what our unhealthy responses to perturbation, and by the way, we all experience it. There's no one immune to this. You know, even the most successful people in the world, Richard Branson and others, they will all go through perturbation, right? Because they're human. All right, so all of us go through this. Now, the first thing is to recognize that perturbation is normal. The second thing is to recognize our unhealthy response to perturbation. As I said, mine is to feel overwhelmed and to get into a bit of a freeze, which leads to some procrastination. What we then need to figure out is what's a healthier way to get through it. How can I get through this? We've got to find a way through. We've got to push through. And so for me, it's about making, you know, small bits of progress. You know, just chipping away at it, just getting one little thing done at a time, going and ticking that off as a victory. And those little victories, you know, accumulate into larger victories, and they accumulate into big victories, and so on. And so you're going to need to find your own way through. Maybe it's talking to someone. Maybe if you've got a coach, talking to your coach. Maybe if you've got a friend who's been through this before, talking to a friend or a trusted advisor or whoever it happens to be. But we've got to find a way to push through. The thing around perturbation, it's really important, is we've got to get comfortable being uncomfortable, because it's a normal part of progress. You know, we all know that there's the comfort zone and then there's the growth zone outside the comfort zone. And when you're looking to grow, by definition, you have to step outside that comfort zone. And therefore, by definition, you're going to experience perturbation. So you've got to either deal with it or retreat to the comfort zone. And I vote for dealing with it. And the way to deal with it is to firstly recognize it and the unhealthy expression of it, and then find alternate healthier ways to move forward. Now, what I would say to you is, when you go through perturbation, it's just as likely that your team will go through perturbation. Maybe they're learning a new skill. Maybe they've taken on a new role and they're going to feel that bit of pressure upon them, and it could manifest in all sorts of ways, probably some unhealthy ways. You might notice a behavioral change. You might notice a bit of moodiness, a bit of irritation, a bit of whatever it happens to be, right? And so what we need to understand is to look at those circumstances and see if they're going through perturbation of their own. We need to be able to understand that. And so as a team, it's useful to discuss this concept of perturbation. It's useful to be able to talk about external pressure being applied to us, internal pressure bubbling up within us, becoming a bit like a pressure cooker. We either need to deal with it productively, or we tend to deal with it unproductively to take the pressure off, right? And we can, as I said, do unhelpful things. So it's really good to have that conversation as a team so you can recognize and understand what your team do when they're feeling that sense of pressure. And when you recognize those behaviors going on in the team, you might say, hey, Bob, or hey, Mary, I'm noticing this, this, and this. And from our conversation, you mentioned that that comes up when you're feeling like you're going through perturbation. Can I just check in about how you're feeling at the moment? Okay. Really important conversations to have, because there might be context for poor behavior. There might be context for a snappy mood or whatever it happens to be, right? And we've got to try to understand our team. We've got to try and understand others so that we can work cohesively together and get the best out of each other. And we've got to understand that each of us are human. Each of us will respond to that pressure, because pressure is normal for all of us. The growth is outside the comfort zone, so we're all going to experience it. And so to understand that is really, really key. And that leads me to the third concept, which is called above and below the line. Now, again, I did not invent above and below the line. It's been around forever and a day. I first heard it about 10 or 12 years ago, but it's a useful model for you to think about. And what it talks about is constructive behavior and destructive behavior. And as a team, we want to obviously be predominantly constructive, right? And so if you were to draw a horizontal line across a page, and above that line, we would be looking at behaviors that indicate we're taking ownership, accountability, and responsibility. And below the line would be looking at behaviors that would indicate we're exhibiting blame, we're delving into excuses, and even getting into denial, right? We're not even acknowledging that things happen there. And so when you're above the line, you're typically solution focused, you're focusing on the vision of the practice, you're motivated, you've got clarity about what you're doing, you've got acceptance for things the way they are. And in essence, you're more of a victor in life as compared to below the line, where you're more of a victim. And when you're below the line, you're going to see things like instead of acceptance, you're going to see judgment. Instead of clarity, you're going to have vagueness. Instead of motivation, you might be feeling apathetic or lazy. And rather than being solution focused, you're focusing on the problems day to day, right? And that leads to a sense of victimhood. Now, when it comes to blame, excuses, and denial, what I'd really encourage is individually and collectively ask yourself, where do I lay blame? When things go wrong, where am I likely to lay blame? Am I going to start blaming my team because they don't do it as well as I do? Am I going to blame patients because, they can't open their mouth, they're not lying flat, whatever it happens to be? Or am I going to blame patients because they don't accept treatment or they don't see the value in what I'm offering them? Am I going to blame past experiences, where I've had failures or setbacks and therefore I can't do it again? Am I going to blame my family if I only had more time to do this? Or am I going to blame the younger workers, the different generations? If only I could get those Gen Zs to work, oh my goodness me, right? Life would be so much easier. Am I going to blame the market? Oh, no one's buying dental services, therefore it's no problem that no one's buying my dental services because, now I've got a reason why, right? Am I going to blame the government for producing too many dentists? Am I going to blame the government for the tax laws? Am I going to blame the economy for inflation and whatever else? Am I going to blame suppliers or my IT? You get the gist. Or am I going to blame COVID? That's a goodie, right? It's never been the same since COVID. We hear that. So where am I blaming? And ask yourself, where am I falling into blaming people? Then, of course, we've got to then ask ourselves, where are we making excuses? And we know that excuses are really there to justify poor results, poor behavior, and so on, right? And excuses could be that it's too hard. It's all a bit too hard. Or I got distracted. Or it's not my job. It's not my responsibility. And when you silo your business, you see that, right? You see people not taking responsibility. It's not the right time is a great excuse. It's never the right time to start a business, right? It's never the right time to have children. But there's that great Chinese proverb, I think it's Chinese anyway, we'll attribute it to the Chinese, they're pretty wise. The best time to plant an oak tree was 20 years ago, and the second best time is today. Right? And if you ask anyone who's ever had a family, when's the right time to have a family? Well, there's no perfect time to have a family. We just have to get on and do things. And so we need to make sure that we don't make excuses. A really common excuse is for someone who wants to run their business, this is one that we see, is I don't have time to work on my business. And I'm going to say, well, you do have time. You probably just didn't make it a priority to work on your business because we all have 24 hours in a day. and how we use those 24 hours is a reflection of our priorities. Or I just am no good at business, or I'm just no good at marketing, or it's too boring. And of course, all these excuses are there to justify and to, you know, find a reason why it's not my fault, in air quotes. And so Tony Robbins has got a great quote, and his quote is, "Rarely is it a lack of resource, more often it's a lack of resourcefulness." And I think that's a really good quote to kind of have rattling around our head there. The third part of being below the line is denial. And that's just kind of not believing or accepting that something's going on when it is, right? I just bury my head in the sand and pretend not to see it. Maybe you've got really bad behavior going on in the workplace. Maybe you've got a poor culture. Maybe you've got a chronically underperforming team member that, you know, is a friend of yours, but you're just not addressing it. And one of the quotes from one of my mentors, a guy called Keith Cunningham, says, "You get what you tolerate." And I really like that quote, because when you're in denial, you're tolerating things that you know you shouldn't be. And you're just going to get more of it if you tolerate it. So it's about accepting things as they are and dealing with those things, right? Just facing the reality, you know, confronting it and dealing with it. So when it comes to progress, every practice owner wants to see progress. And in this episode today, we've spoken about three facets of progress. We've spoken about what progress really looks like, you know, the visible and the invisible, understanding the lag when you're doing the action and the progress is still invisible until you finally pop through and that progress becomes visible. We spoke about the fact that there will be plateaus, there will be dips. As you hit the edge of your skill set and your abilities, you're going to plateau. And then as you introduce new things, you'll dip before you make progress again. That's normal. That's natural. And it occurs in every endeavor, whether it be the arts, business, or anything else, right? That's going to happen. And then we spoke about the emotional journey. We spoke about perturbation and making sure we understand how we respond in an unhealthy way and how we can be more productive in our response. But we also spoke about our team and their responses and how we can identify unproductive responses to perturbation and perhaps cut them some slack, basically, but also guide them to have a more constructive response to perturbation. And then finally, we spoke about above and below the line, where above the line, you know, you're going to be more of a victor than below the line when you're a victim. And we spoke about, you know, ownership, accountability, and responsibility above the line, blame, excuse, denial below the line, and making sure that our behavior is above the line as much as possible, right? And if we slip below the line, to catch ourselves and to live predominantly above that line. So if you're a leader and you want to make progress in your practice and you want next month to be better than this month and next year to be better than this year, then there's three leadership practices that I guarantee that if you adopt, will accelerate your progress. You'll get your goals faster, you'll hit greater things than you ever thought possible, and ultimately you'll enjoy that journey a whole lot more as well. So I hope you find this episode really helpful. I hope you can apply those practices into your day-to-day. And please do let me know how you go with it. I'm always keen to hear how people respond and take action upon what we talk about on the show and the impact that those actions have. And until next week, I look forward to seeing you. But till then, have a great week. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist podcast. For more episodes, go to drjessegreen.com/savvydentist. And to discover how to build a high-performance dental practice, visit drjessegreen.com and download the free report.